vision. Your paradigm is about to shift at the intersection of fact and reason. You're entering Kingston Country.
I'm Dan Kingston, and you're listening to the Dan Kingston Podcast. 113,000 patients have tested positive for coronavirus in the United States as President Trump considers quarantining New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut, the hardest hit areas. Today, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services came down hard on states like Washington and Alabama that have directed healthcare workers when they should consider denying care. That's right. They've Alabama, Washington, some other states are issuing when healthcare workers should deny care, you know, triage kind of things. But these orders from the Health and Human Services now are forbidding the denial of medical care based on disability or age during this crisis. So when they're going to set up a triage, they can't deny service, a medical service based on age or disability. Now, Alabama, that's in direct contradiction to Alabama's plan instructing healthcare workers to consider denying ventilators to people with mental retardation, dementia, and traumatic brain injury, which is kind of shocking that the Alabama guidelines really were to consider denying ventilators to people with mental retardation, especially that. I mean, also dementia, traumatic brain injury. Yes, you could see why that would be kind of un-American, you could say. And I do understand a triage system, you're going to have to make really tough choices. But do you really want that coming down from the top of the state? Or doctors on the ground being able to see, well, hey, you know, Joe Bob looks more likely to survive. Let's help out Joe Bob. Or is it all just based on, oh, Joe Bob's kind of, you know, a little bit retarded. Maybe we should skip it and give it to the guy who has a less likely chance of living, but, you know, he's not retarded. I don't know. I think Alabama has a problematic guideline denying ventilators to people with mental retardation. Also, Washington State issued guidelines recommending that patients with loss of physical ability or loss of cognition should also be considered to be left to die in outpatient or palliative care, basically just treating the symptoms, not helping cure the disease. And so, again, today, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services came down hard against Alabama and Washington and other states that are trying to, you know, put forward guidelines that may be based on denying medical care to people based on age or disability. And I'm curious, what do you think about that? I mean, right now, the number of infected are going up every day, 113,000 patients now, as I mentioned, have tested positive in the United States. And so we have not hit the apex. At least most people, most officials do not believe we've hit the apex. They believe cases are going to continue to rise. And so states, I guess you could make the argument they're being proactive, making guidelines for these triage scenarios that nobody wants to happen, but they could happen. It could happen. And so what do you think? Should you deny ventilators to people that are retarded or deny ventilators to folks that have some cognitive issues like Washington's guided? Or is the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services making the right choice saying you cannot forbid service based on disability or age during this crisis? Interestingly enough, they didn't say that you can't deny the care for age and disability in any crisis or in any kind of emergency. But in this specific crisis, they're saying you cannot deny it for those reasons. And it's a tough one when you have a triage situation. I do think you want to give the authority to the healthcare workers on the ground. Am I wrong in that assumption? Or do you want a top-down approach mandating to healthcare workers who should live and who should die so they don't have to make those tough decisions? I mean, I guess they signed up for healthcare. And the doctors know about triage. They know that this could happen. They know this likely to happen, actually, at some point in their career. If you're a doctor, you're going to have some grisly situations. Now, they're prepared for this, and they're prepared to figure out and make assessments on who's more likely to pull through. So shouldn't we be giving that trust, ultimately, to the people on the ground? I believe so. But then it is important to have some guidelines when you're having Alabama and Washington making some some recommendations that I don't think most Americans necessarily would jump on board, you know, saluting. So that's when the State Department has to come in, or the Health and Human Services Department has to come in and say, wait a minute, normally we do, you know, have you make your own decision, but this, no, 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 you can't do this kind of guidelines. You can't do this kind of guidelines. So ultimately, I think it's a good decision by the Department of Health and Human Services. I believe that normally you should have more local control, but this is a weird situation where the states were kind of mandating something that I don't think was so kosher. Now, I want to pivot and talk about China, that's officially reported 3,299 coronavirus fatalities, right? So that's the official number, 3,299. But if that's true, why is the Chinese media reporting funeral homes receiving thousands and thousands and thousands of urns? One funeral home alone got a shipment of 10,000 urns over two-day period. And, you know, urns is what you put your loved one in after you get them cremated. And in China, they do a lot of cremations over there. And so you have tens of thousands of urns, it looks like, are being shipped over to the Wuhan area, where the majority of the fatalities are. And it sheds some doubt, I think, on this number, 3,299. Is that real? When you have all these urn shipments, could it be people that died from other causes, or maybe some demand, this pent-up demand? A lot of people are dying, right? Not just from coronavirus, but it's been 2 months that Wuhan's been on lockdown. Presumably, people have died. So this could be not too much to look at, but you combine it with the fact that 21 million, I'll say that again, 21 million Chinese cell phone users have just disappeared over the last 3 months. They're gone. They're vanished. And either they're dead or they're broke. I don't understand how it could be anything besides that. Do you have any theory on that? Is there any way 21 million Chinese cell phone users just disappear in, over the last 3 months unless they died or they ran out of money? It's the only way, because a cell phone service are not going to deny service, you know, oh, sorry, you paid your bill, but we're going to cut you off. No. And if you're living, then you're not going to just stop your cell phone service if you can afford it. So it looks to me like there is a huge, huge economic toll in China that we haven't really talked about, or hasn't been talked about. To have 21 million Chinese just lose their cell phones, it's a significant chunk of, you know, I know you got 1.4 billion or something like that over there in China, but you know, their middle class is not that much bigger than our population. So I think if you're talking about like the number of Chinese that are middle class, it's probably 300, 400 million, something like that. So taking 21 million cell phones out of that middle class, that's huge. It signals either a lot of dead or a lot of economically dead. And you know, economic death leads to physical death. That's true. But they're lifting up that quarantine over in China. And apparently there's riots, a lot of problems happening right now in China as a quarantine is lifted on Wuhan. That lockdown is being lifted. And now they're finding out that 5 to 10% of patients in China that have recovered, actually they test positive again. Even though it looks like they're asymptomatic, they've recovered, they still test positive, even after testing negative and recovering, supposedly. So what does that show? It shows you have some asymptomatic people that could possibly still be spreading the disease in China. And because of that, even though the lockdown has been officially lifted, you have neighboring cities to Wuhan are saying, wait a minute, we're not so ready to let you come into our city. And so you have blockades of cities blocking people from Wuhan, and you have riots, huge riots. And you do not see riots in mainland China very often. I'm not a Chinese expert, but I've been looking more and more as I've been covering coronavirus really from the beginning since at least since January, and I guess not from the very beginning, because it's possibly has been spreading all the way back there in November. But I was covering it before many, and I was taking it seriously before many. When others were saying the seasonal flu is more deadly, I was saying, look at the coronavirus, because it looks like it may have escaped from the only level 4 biolab in all of China that just happens to exist in Wuhan, and that's the epicenter of the disease outbreak. And I'm not the only one that early on, you know, Chinese doctors and scientists were pointing out all the biolabs right around the epicenter of that supposed seafood market that was the outbreak. I did a whole podcast on origin of coronavirus. Please check it out if you're curious about that. Now, it's not very deadly. I mean, you look at the mortality rate in Germany, I think it's only like 0.4%, which puts it not much higher than the seasonal flu. And you look at a country like Italy, it's like 10% mortality rate. So they've really messed up with their socialized medicine over there. They've just letting people die, probably just sending old people to palliative care and outpatient care like Washington's doing, which also has a very high mortality rate. Washington State does. So it's interesting when you got the socialized medicine or a very far left state, they tend to have a higher mortality rate. And I think that's a point for private medicine. And I think that's a real negative for socialized medicine. Wouldn't you agree with that? Now, there's also reportedly a large number of false negatives coming out of China. So a lot of people, they test negative. It says they're negative and they're actually positive. And Italy, Spain, people are reporting that the tests that they're getting from China are flawed, saying either false negatives or false positives. And it's really coming out of China in a big way. Chinese doctors warning that they really don't know if they've stamped this out. And there's a lot of concern about a second wave that could hit China. China's banned people from coming into the country, their country, right? Because now from their propaganda and their imaging that this is a foreign virus, it didn't originate in China, they're actually saying that we gave it to them, the U.S. Army gave it to, infected them with coronavirus. Now, I mean, Chinese propaganda, right? I don't know even what to say about that, except some people really are falling for the Chinese propaganda that says America is the boogeyman, America's bad, and China's so great. China is so great. Look at how China puts their people first. Look at how China puts the group ahead of the individual. And they're all willing to sacrifice and come together. Why can't we just be more like China? If only we could be more like China, we could have the lockdown in place. And you see this messaging happening in the mainstream media and trickling down into your friends and your loved ones and your neighbors, saying that China is the answer. And if we could only be more globalist like China is. Meanwhile, China is blaming us for coronavirus. China's getting ready their people to go to war, or at least go into hostilities against American people. You don't see that on our side. You do see a reaction, our officials saying the truth, that this did originate in China, and saying, whoa, look at these concentration camps. Look at how they treat people in Hong Kong. Look at how they treat civil liberties. Look at how they treated their own people. Is that what we want to become? And China's response is, America is evil. America gave us the virus. America is racist for shutting the borders. So there's a real problem. I want you to be on the lookout for anybody telling you how we should be more like China, how the Chinese culture puts the group ahead of the individual. Well, I'll tell you one thing. I happen to be a supporter of individual liberty. I'm a supporter of individual rights. I don't believe that we should all necessarily sacrifice for the greater good just for no reason, out of nowhere, for no purpose. Because as soon as you do that, as soon as you trample and give up your civil liberties, you might not be able to get them back. You can give them up in the name of the greater good, but will the greater good give you back the civil liberties when it's, you know, when the crisis is over, when the emergency is over? And, you know, I think because we're a practical people and we're a good people and we're also a religious people, the American people are, that we understand the balance between sacrifice and individual liberty. We do. It's ingrained in us. It's the balance between having faith and hope and also adhering to the laws of man. We are we're very lucky to have a political culture like ours, and we'll be very lucky if we can keep it.
Kingston Country. You've been listening to the Dan Kingston Podcast.